We're going to wade back into the topic of abortion for this short audio-only portion. And I'd like to remind you to subscribe to me on Podbean in addition to everywhere else. So, everybody's all up in arms about the heartbeat bill, which is in Ohio, Georgia, and a couple other states, I think Mississippi. And then there's the even stricter laws in... There's a life law in Alabama, and I think there's a similar law in Missouri that are both almost essentially restricting abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. So of the two different statutes, I'd say I agree with the heartbeat bill. I live in Ohio. I think that you should be able to give the choice to people that didn't have the choice of becoming pregnant. Although there are people that I've actually interacted with that say, well, that's not fair to us. We were conceived. You know, these people say that they were conceived from an act of rape. Okay, and their mothers decided not to abort the child. So, getting back to the actual issue, though, we have in America this debate where the spectrum has basically been widened so much on abortion that a rational compromise is a little difficult to reach. Of course, the pro-life people, you do have people like the ones in Alabama that want a total ban on the procedure. And then you also have people like in New York that want to expand the, they basically want to expand the window, the time window for the procedure up to and even after the moment of birth, which I think is basically, you know, barbaric. Okay, and I think that's why we're seeing all of these legal, legal issues right now with these states that are passing new abortion laws. They're anticipating that one of these will reach the Supreme Court and that Roe versus Wade will possibly be overturned. Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting moment when one of these laws reaches the Supreme Court, and we'll have to see exactly how the court rules now that you have a different composition on the bench. You have Justice Kavanaugh, you have Justice Gorsuch. Of course, people who are anticipating that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe versus Wade, they have to recognize, this is something I saw Lionel posting earlier. He said that, well, Roe versus Wade isn't the only abortion case in the Supreme Court that does affirm the right of a woman to have an abortion, de facto. There's also Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So those who are saying, well, all we have to do is overturn Roe versus Wade. No, that's not the only decision. There's at least two precedents and probably a couple more that are going to really determine the case. And I think that people have to just brace themselves for possible disappointment, whether you're on the pro-choice or the pro-life side. I happen to be on the pro-life side. I think that there's a majority in this country. Or whether you go state by state, or if you go the country as a whole, if there was a referendum on abortion, I would say that the majority of the country would probably vote pro-life, and pro-choicers don't want to go down that road. And in the majority of these states, it would probably be this way. There's only a few states, I think, that are staunchly pro-choice. And one of the reasons I think that people are not gravitating towards the pro-choice position is the absurd behavior of some of the advocates, whether it's the Brian Sims of the world, who they think that it's courageous to go and berate people outside of the abortion clinics, or there's Cuck Norris over in Canada, roundhouse kicking a pro-life protester because he was sticking up for women's rights. So he roundhouse kicked a woman because he's such a feminist. These people are essentially deluded. They think that not only can they speak for these oppressed gender, the oppressed gender of women as men, but they think that in some cases they can harass and physically assault them. That's one of the reasons that there's been this rough period for pro-choice people. Another issue is all the absurd bills, like Governor Northam's bill in Virginia, which is not going to pass because they don't have a majority in either house in Virginia. And then another issue that we're seeing is that the pro-life movement is having a much more aggressive and well thought out campaign in the media. They released that film Unplanned, and many of them are, you know, the pro-life movement used to be kind of ugly. They'd go to these clinics and they'd yell at people, and it's really as if the earth's been turned upside down on its axis. It's the same issue that's been happening with censorship, which used to be the right wing was more pro-censorship. It's the same issue that you see with a lot of other problems that you're seeing in the world. The right wing used to be much more warmongering than the left. The GOP, of course, brought us into Iraq. They were the most pro-war party that you could have, and now it's the Democrats are certainly more pro-war on some issues, especially when it concerned Russia. Not so much on Iran, believe it or not. But getting back to the abortion issue, why are people pro-life, even if they're not staunchly religious or Christian or whatever? I happen to be Jewish. There was actually a discussion this week, or rather a sermon that my rabbi gave, where he said, this idea of my body, my choice is absurd because the body is not yours. The body is actually God's property. And I found I'd remembered that this had been brought up before. So not all people who are pro-life happen to be Christian. And by the way, not all people have a religious view of it. I personally think the issue is more of medical ethics, because a doctor who is essentially executing one patient, in many cases, it's an elective surgery that leaves one patient out of two killed. That's what an abortion by choice means. That, I believe, violates the Hippocratic Oath, and nobody can convince me otherwise. I know that they've amended the Hippocratic Oath since, I guess, Hippocrates, who was the Greek physician for which it's named, I guess he didn't think about that going forward to this day. But yes, this whole issue doesn't have to be a religious issue. And when you talk about, oh, my body, my choice, you should ask these people. You should ask them. A lot of them happen to be vegan. You should ask them, okay, then why is it that you don't want me to eat eggs? Okay? And many of them will start to say, well, you know, you're violating animals' rights and whatever. Well, this is an egg. It's not an animal. A fetus isn't a human. Is an egg a chicken? And they'll probably... You know, these people, they often have such cognitive dissonance that it's amazing. And another thing you could probably ask them, I was thinking about this, if it's my body, my choice, and in many cases they want children as young as 14, 13 to be able to get an abortion without their parents' consent, then why don't you believe that children, or anyone for that matter, should be able to go to a pharmacy and buy codeine over the counter, codeine and codeine syrup, and be able to use it? I mean, it's their body, it's their choice. Why don't you think people should be able to do that? It's ludicrous. The pro-choice argument of my body, my choice is one of the more ridiculous ones that I've heard. And largely, the reason that things like that have propagated was because of the vogue period of the 60s and 70s, when feminism became a real cultural phenomenon, and there was this notion that women had to liberate themselves from the bonds of male domination and everything. And look where it got a lot of these people. You see a lot of failed marriages arose out of that era. So, you know, they talk about all these children who were born into poverty, and those are the ones that they think should have been aborted. if you go around the world, a lot of the people who are born, do you think that if people in Colombia embraced abortion, do you think Colombia would be a happier country? Because there's a lot more poverty in Colombia. There's a lot more poverty in nations like Brazil and other heavily Catholic nations where abortion is not really... I don't believe that abortion is legal in Brazil. I don't know about Colombia, but this is ridiculous. But the feminists were able to actually cause more misery among middle-class people than the lack of abortion has caused among the poor. And the misery is more of a psychological issue. You see higher rates of divorce. You see higher rates of child delinquency in some of these houses. And you see families are divided. Now, again, I'm not this family values sort of person. I'm not somebody who's saying, oh, we should go back to America in the era of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz when everybody... By the way, they got divorced. So for anybody who thinks that they were the ideal family, they were not. But in any case, no, I don't think that we should force people I don't think we should force people to carry an abortion to term if it is a case of rape or incest. But this idea that, well, you're inhibiting somebody's bodily autonomy, well, you're also inhibiting the bodily autonomy of the fetus, right? You're also causing a physician to violate the bodily autonomy of that fetus. So you're causing another person to do harm. It's not your body, your choice, when somebody else has to harm someone else in order for you to get your choice and be happy. That's not what bodily autonomy means. And once again, when you talk, a lot of these people, yes, they'll say, yeah, I'm pro drug legalization, but very few of them will say, if you really ask them, that they think that a child should be able to walk into a pharmacy and buy codeine syrup or buy, for that matter, why should there be any prescriptions? If it's your body, your choice, shouldn't you be able to buy literally any prescription medication you want? What's the difference? None of these people would ever advocate for abolishing this process where you have to get a prescription from a doctor to get a certain drug because they know it's a public health issue. So my body, my choice is a ridiculous and fallacious argument. That's about it. Please like, share, and subscribe. Also subscribe to me on YouTube. My name on there is Bold Like a Leopard on BitChute at Chef Leopard. You can also subscribe on Minds.com and on Subscribestar if you want to donate at Chef Leopard, and on Gab at Starscream85.